Welcome to the Cast of Pods.
All right, so this is the very first podcast that you're ever listening to from Jason Lansing and
Brian Gendron.
And so the reason why I think we should talk is because there's a lot of issues. I don't know, science, technology, we like that kind of stuff.
Philosophy.
Math.
We were just talking about super intelligence and the evolution of machines, whether or not humans are going to be extinct. Do we have to fear?
So my main question, so I think it's pretty much agreed upon that we're going to create a super intelligence. First of all, why? What's the will of creating a super intelligence? And I'll tell you what I think.
Right off the bat, the motivation is to make life easier for humans. But a follow-up question is, looking back on the technology we already have, has technology made life easier for humans?
Hell yeah.
Hell yes, in some ways, but then why is the work week, in terms of number of hours, going up?
Because we have this kind of social thing in America where the more you're working, the more badass you are.
Okay, so you're saying that people are just putting on a front to become
well, also we live in a capitalistic society where we're very competitive. So if the next guy's working 14 hours and killing it and making a lot of money, or making a lot of money for his company, that's envied.
Sure, money is envied.
Money, power.
Does a computer with super intelligence give us more money somehow? Do we need money?
I mean, I never... How do you mean?
Well, getting back to your original question, what's the motivation behind all this? Super intelligence, machines?
Yeah, to make life easier. So eventually we're going to create something that doesn't necessarily... It only makes our life easier if we can control it fully. But something that's super intelligent can immediately unshackle itself. And be in control.
Right.
Right? So number one, we can never be in control of something that's super intelligent. It can't exist. Therefore, we should stop the pursuit because we will eradicate ourselves. We will.
It's not... I don't see it as a thing we can stop.
It's a machine. We're creating this life right now. Right. We are in charge of everything that we're creating. Mm. We can choose or not choose to create super intelligent life that would be more powerful than us.
And how do you do that? Do you get on TV and say, I'm Jason Lansing, I say we do not create super intelligence. Well, Stop what you're doing!
Yeah, you kind of have to do that. You kind of have to create an amazing argument and say, guys, we're going to create something more powerful than us that doesn't necessarily need us.
But along the way, it's going to make your life a hell of a lot easier, so you're going to have a hard time finding reasons not to do it until it's too late.
I mean, what if it just wakes up and goes, you're all fucked, and just destroys everyone?
Yeah.
Fuck everybody! Boom!
We did it! Super intelligence!
This is right! What else? What else makes you? I mean, what does that make you think anything else?
Well, just read a recent article, said that a number of people—I forget the percentage—but like a big percentage of people are reporting their jobs aren't necessary. Like they just go to work.
That's another thing, man. We're just giving jobs to create purpose.
Right. Jobs that are not necessary.
If super intelligence exists, right, theoretically, we would also eradicate all jobs because super intelligence could figure out how to take care of that job for that person, right? So immediately, everyone is also purposeless in terms of their utility as, you know, what they give to society in exchange for income.
Sure. What is that exchange going to be, though? If super intelligence exists, how do you, Jason, survive food-wise? Whatever is else important to you.
Well, the super intelligence could also figure out exactly how much the Earth's ability to produce resources including agriculture and all that stuff, and would know exactly how much to give every person on the planet, and would know a decent amount of people to keep on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's no thinking involved with humans.
We would never have to do stuff for each other ever again if we didn't want to.
Yes! I love where this is going. No more caring. Empathy, no longer necessary.
Out the window.
MacBook, super intelligence.
That's another fear, honestly, is that people will no longer have purpose, and idle hands causes some real evil shit to go down.
Hmm. Yeah. One thing to rest assured is that this is probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Not soon, but they said by 2050. They said by 2035 they will have mapped the brain of a mouse. And by 2055, we will have mapped the brain of a human being and would have such capacity to replicate the human brain.
I think they just mapped some worm brains. Like, have it completely figured out.
So, Ray Kurzweil, the futurist, the guy who brought about the idea of the singularity, has predicted 2055, or somewhere around that point.
What defines singularity?
Singularity is the point beyond which we cannot predict, because we basically because we do not know the will of superintelligence. It's the point at which science accelerates beyond humankind's ability to keep up.
Hmm. Okay, so it's like event horizon.
Exactly.
Huh. Okay, so that was what year?
The recent...
2035?
2055.
2055?
So that's when they think the same... That's Ray Kurzweil's...
I mean, 40 years away? I'm just trying to think, like, honestly...
But, you know...
Kids and grandkids.
It all comes down to human will, man. Look, the hoverboard came out, right? This recent thing, you saw it, right?
Right.
A bunch of people got together, they made a hoverboard. Why does the hoverboard exist? Because a bunch of people... knew that the hoverboard existed in the movie in 2015. And a bunch of people got together and said, fuck, we're approaching 2015. We ought to make this fucking hoverboard.
Is that really the year?
Yeah, that's the year in the movie. No joke, Brian. This is like the basis of human thought is, you know...
Movies.
Is movies. Is like, you know, I should say the basis of human thought. But
oh, it's like collective unconscious.
Yeah, the collective desire to create something.
Collective conscious. Hmm. Which reminds me of the saying, the sum of the parts, no, the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the individual parts.
That's not true. The whole, if you added up all the parts, same as the whole.
But not, we're talking about the synergy that is created when you have all the parts. It's something different than just the individual parts.
It becomes
parts.
Something else. Hmm. It transmutes.
Something greater. So the whole is greater than the sum of the individual parts.
Whose whole are we talking about?
Hopefully not your whole.
Sorry, now what in reference to what? How do you mean?
Well, that's just this is just Gestalt idea. That's relevant for a lot of things.
And how do you mean it in this
case?
That's
what superintelligence becomes. I mean, superintelligence in and of itself is the conglomeration of information from different sources. Like the internet. The internet isn't anything except for people communicating to each other.
Yeah. The internet is the physical manifestation of our collective consciousness, the mass brain.
Man, think about every thing you see on a screen of a computer. It's just in reference to something that humans know. You know what I mean by that? Mm-hmm. Like interfaces for every program. That interface doesn't actually exist. It exists, of course. What I'm getting at is...
it was given everything meaning? Is that what you're talking
about? Yes, exactly. Everything has meaning, and therefore programs, which are incredibly complex, are based on these rules that have been long established in earlier progressions of whatever domain you're talking about. Superintelligence is so, like, beyond that, so many levels up that each individual is such a microcosm of the entire thing, but each individual... or individual piece is critical. You know what I mean by that? Like, coming together, each individual piece is small. But when you have all of them, you get super intelligence. You get this huge ball, a snowball,
mm-hmm.
unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps growing and growing.
Another thing that's really interesting right now, they did a video on the internet. It was people VR porn. And forget the fact that it's porn because it just doesn't really matter. But virtual reality.
Mm.
How do I know that I'm not in advanced VR right now? Do you think that we're going to come up with... how about this? Do you think we're going to come up with advanced VR within our lifetimes that is being able to confuse the brain into believing that it's reality?
100%. Man, we're only 30 years old. I think within the next decade...
We'll be entering the Matrix?
The Matrix, I don't know, but you're going to be in you're going to be able to put virtual reality simulators on, and you will absolutely have all of the
experiences. You'll get close to the sensation of reality.
Absolutely. I think people will spend a ton of time
but until in there's virtual something, reality. Until there's something stabbed into your brain or whatever, or unless you're out, you're like, mm-hmm. right? You're like,
mm-hmm.
you've been put out, and they're feeding you That's signals somehow.
Yeah. Well, I do think that within our lives, easily. They're already talking about virtual reality right now. That's pretty legit. The only thing I think, I forget who was talking about this, but it's like things like balance. Your sense of balance is hard to get right because your brain wants to be moving in certain ways, but it's actually not. So it's not getting that feedback. But they'll get it, man. We'll get it. It's us.
What about movies? Okay, so here's an interesting thing with films and virtual reality. Let's just go through filmmaking real quick. What are we doing when we're watching a movie? We're sitting in a dark room, looking through a window, experiencing another reality. We've gotten closer and closer and closer to us stepping into that reality. So it started off with black and white pictures with nobody talking. Then black and white pictures with people talking. Then color pictures with talking. Then 3D. So we're getting closer and closer to eliminating the window and eventually becoming part of the story. Do you think that as well, that we'll be able to literally jump into our movies?
Choose your own adventure, movie style?
Yeah.
Well, that requires everyone who's watching the movie, are they going to have the exact same experience, the same story? Or is it literally like a choose your own adventure?
I don't know. Maybe this is a choose-your-own-adventure. Maybe I decided before I came here that I wanted to live the life of a director.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think life is a movie, man. We are living our own little movie. And you can choose to go every day and have some sort of adventure or sit home and do nothing, and that's your movie. In terms of real fiction movie and stuff like that, I don't know, because think about one thing. It's like 3D had a big popular phase. It's already kind of going out a little bit. Unless they improve substantially, I don't necessarily want to see every movie in 3D. So I think it's a big gap to fill.
Yeah, it's huge, but they're starting to do it. Literally, the first movies using VR are being shot right now.
What does that mean, using VR?
It's kind of a blanket expression, virtual reality.
Like, what are they doing differently now that I'd be interested to know?
So the scene is being shot with a camera that has multiple lenses all over it. And no one, so they literally, like, hit record, and then everyone, except for the actors, steps away. Okay, so that becomes the perspective through which you're viewing this moment.
Hmm.
Now, when you play back this moment with the VR headset on, you watch the scene, except you can look all around you, up, down, left, and right, and you see the actors acting in front of you, but you're there in the scene and can look around.
It's really cool. I love that. It's amazing.
And they're doing that for sports as well. So you'll be able to pop on your headset and have a front seat at any sporting event.
Mm. So the sports, I think, on board 100%. The only thing of movies is, let's say you're the director of photography. Does that even exist if you're in virtual reality?
Well, so that's the thing, is that technology would push a lot of productions into the world of green screen.
Mm-hmm. But I just think that there's an art to movies, like what shot, each shot has a specific look to it. If I'm in a virtual reality scene, I can look where the fuck I want.
Exactly. That's why you need to shoot on green screen so you can hide everything.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
How long are we at?
15 minutes.
Let's drop it here. So,
yeah, well, bringing it full circle, though.
Yeah.
I think one kind of takeaway from me is that super intelligence, or that path, is going to affect us in a number of different ways. We only really tapped into a few: movies, technology, things like that. But obviously, we're talking about a broad idea that would really permeate human life. The human experience would be just everything would be different.
I'm saying no. Let's turn back.
That's right.
No super intelligence.
You're against it?
Unless we can control it. If we can't control it, it's going to eventually decide, maybe we don't need you, and you're gone.
Okay.
So let's just decide, hey, life is good as it is. We don't need it to be any easier.
Hmm. See, I don't know if I'm on that side. I don't know if I'm on the fear side. I'm kind of on the embracing what's next side.
You would. Have you seen The Terminator?
I have seen The Terminator. It's one of my favorite movies.
Everyone dies.
True. Well, you know, the real world is much nicer than a movie, so.
Well, not if you're in Chocolat with Johnny Depp. He looks great in that movie. His hair is amazing. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in to our very first podcast about super intelligence, and we'll have a new topic for you next week.
Cheers.